Welcome to Invasion of Privacy. I'm Kate Wolf, and today it's just me. My voice is a little groggy-ish. It's Sunday morning. It's supposed to snow a little bit later here on the East Coast of the United States of America, for those of you who are listening from other countries. So, and let me tell you something. So yesterday it snowed, and I was giving a healing. And when I got off, I couldn't find Shane, my son, and he was outside just shoveling the driveway. It was just like the cutest thing and the sweetest thing, because I didn't even ask him to or anything. And I don't know, it was just like a really cool moment. I was really appreciative of that gesture. So I just wanted to say that. All right, I have a lot that I want to talk about. It's been a while since I've podcasted just me, and I have a ton of topics written down. So I'm just going to go right into it. First, let's talk about the Oscars that happened last weekend. One of the moments that blew me away was Selma Blair being on the red carpet. And I had not realized up until this appearance that she had been diagnosed with MS, and it has really impaired her motor functions. And it was really emotional for me because I've been a fan of Selma for a while. She's been in a lot of movies as I was growing up. I loved Cruel Intentions. So it was really hard and painful to watch her struggling with MS. And yet I also watched the Good Morning America interview that they did with her. And man, she blew me away. And yeah, I really feel for her. And she had had these symptoms for years. And she even had an episode, I think like 2 years ago, on an airplane. She was self-medicating a lot to deal and cope with these symptoms. She didn't know she had MS till recently. So because she had taken a bunch of substances, she had kind of this quote-unquote meltdown on an airplane with her son present and her ex. So I think that was obviously linked to this. And I'm happy that she's finally diagnosed, and the doctor told her that they think in about a year, it's possible that 90% of her symptoms will no longer be present. But when she gave the Good Morning America interview, she was in an active flare-up. And, you know, I definitely cried through most of the interview, but man, her strength and her beauty really blew me away. And her ability to speak up and talk about something that a lot of people struggle with. And she looked stunning in her dress when she was at the Oscars. And I just thought, wow, that's one badass woman. So I wanted to share that. Also, of course, Lady Gaga and Bradley Cooper performed Shallow at the Oscars, which for me was like one of the main reasons. Like that was I didn't watch the entire Oscars, but I obviously had to watch that part. Of course, they were very, very close. Their chemistry is palpable. The sexual tension's unreal. They were both very overly tanned and orange for some reason, whatever. And Lady Gaga won an Oscar for Shallow. Look, she's one of the most talented, amazing goddesses walking the planet. Like, she's a real true artist. I do think her and Bradley obviously are twin flames, but you know, he was there with his wife Irina Shayk, I think I'm saying her last name right. And then Lady Gaga did an interview with Jimmy Kimmel, who Kimmel's energy to me is, I'm more of a Fallon fan, to be honest, but you know, Kimmel's all right too. But he asked her about everyone saying she's in love with Bradley Cooper, as if she's going to go on, he's married. Like, what is she going to say? So she went into this whole thing about how it's acting, and it's like, yeah, but it's beyond, first of all, you can feel their chemistry in the movie, A Star Is Born. But then it's also just like all their interviews and their body chemistry, the way she pulled them up in Las Vegas, the way they performed as themselves at the Oscars. Like, it's something you can feel. So look, she can say what she wants. I'm not here to harass Lady Gaga, but it's like, to me, it's pretty clear. And a lot of people are feeling it and saying things. So obviously she denied it, But I also can, I can see a lot of not just celebrities, but people. Most people are holding in so much pain and tension in their bodies. You can just feel it. And she's pretty open about, I forget what she struggles with, but she has a condition. And a lot of people just aren't listening to their bodies. Like, that's what this evolution revolution is about. It's about shifting into really listening. And the twin flame journey is about total vulnerability and being seen. And most people, you know, and I've said this a million times before, you know, we're trying to avoid the quote unquote crazy within, because true love, it brings out places that make us feel weaker or nuttier. But the truth is we're all still children in a sense inside, but we try to shut down those wavelengths because it makes us feel, once again, crazy or whatever, which is why, by the way, I've been like painting like a maniac. And maniac is like a funny word to say. I've been painting like a very inspired artist, this mural, and it has like a Wonderland. It already had a Wonderland theme. I've got two walls covered now, but I put Alice in there. I put the rabbit, but then I put other characters that are not typically from Alice in Wonderland. But for me, it's about showing we're in this Wonderland, right? We're living in this dream state in a sense, but it's reality. But I put the quote, we're all mad here, because we forget we're all mad here. We try to act quote unquote normal. Sorry that I always do the quote unquotes. Maybe I'll ditch them. I don't know. But no one is normal. We all have emotional reactions, but most people have tried to push them down to seem a certain way. And this is going to bring me, I will get back to, actually, before I get to, I want to talk about Abducted in Plain Sight, which my friend Khalees Hawkins actually brought my attention to. So I just want to say, I believe Irina's twin flame is this insanely good looking model, Stephen James. And he actually, in a sense, found me. I'll explain what that means. I was on Facebook and this picture of like this insanely hot guy comes up, because I think Irina is one of the most gorgeous people walking the earth. Like, she's a showstopper. And this guy had that same energy, and he has tattoos all over, including a huge one of Kali, the goddess of rebirth and destruction, in a sense, on his stomach. So of course it got my attention. I was like, who is this with all the tattoos? And so he was this gorgeous model. I think he used to be a professional soccer player till he had an injury that took him off. And I'm like, okay, he was speaking to me. So I watched a YouTube interview, and immediately he starts speaking about his good friend Irina and how much he cares about her. And I'm like, oh my God, because it was right after the Oscars performance. Because, you know, when I talk about the twin flame journey, I'm not wanting anyone to feel alone or hurt, including Irina, including Jessica Biel. Like, it's really all about us finding our actual match, our mirror image in the earth plane, because that's what we're all actually desiring. But it takes time to really feel out who that is. And as the twin flame concept and term becomes more popular, you know, people are throwing it around a bit, which is fine. People are going to do what they do, but it's really important to feel it out for years, even. And also, and I don't mean to sound like a Prudy Judy, but when you have sex before you really smell out a situation, when you engage in sex, which is a really divine instrument and coming together, things can get confusing. I have tried in my past to have casual sexual encounters. I mean, not a lot, trust me. I've had sex with 13 people in my life, but it never, like, it you always get attached. You always mix energies. So if you have sex with someone before you smell out if they're really your twin flame or your ultimate, the one, of course, like, the energy is just going to get off, you know? So in the twin flame journey, it might be confusing at first. Who is your twin flame? Just try your best to honestly close your legs for a second, or for dudes, keep the dick in the pants for a second. So many of us, we don't want to sit with our loneliness. So we just want to like kind of plug in. It's like, think of like something plugging into an outlet. Like, it becomes easier to smell out who your match is if you're able. And look, if you're not, it's all good. There's no judgment here, for real. Everyone's on their own journey. Only you know your path. But it does get confusing when you're just sticking your dick in a lot of things or letting things penetrate you. It can, you know, of course you're going to think that person is, it's an attaching thing. So, and there are some people who like, they're trying to figure out their twin flame and like, they think it's one person and the next month it's another. Like, that's all good, but it's best to take a step back and maybe even sit with it for like a year or longer. But you're going to do whatever you want to do. And sometimes the twin flame magnetism is so strong that you're like pulled right in, and that's all good too. And sometimes you're getting pulled in by soulmate energy, and that's fine too. This is all about learning. It's all about growth. It's about evolution. But I will say the twin flame journey, when you come together, the mission is almost always about helping to assist bringing a new earth onto this realm, because Gaia, the soul of the planet, she's not doing great. I mean, we're slowly shifting and changing, but like the way we treat the animals, the planet, each other, it's time for a switch. And those who want to continue resisting, people are feeling this in their physical bodies. I'm telling you, like, you have to listen to your physical bodies. Your emotions are a compass. And when you don't listen to them, it manifests into the physical. I have had to learn how to slow down and rest and be so sensitive and really, really follow my highest excitement. But it's radical to do so because most people are living with this obligation energy of what they have to do. Totally get it. This is why it's a slow turning of the ship. But we have to stop living for other people and their expectations and start putting ourselves first, which brings me to the documentary Abducted in Plain Sight, which is on Netflix. It's a very upsetting documentary, but very powerful. And it's about, in a sense, sexual abduction, but it was abducted in plain sight. It was like a family friend. This man basically abducted their daughter publicly. It's a whole thing. And honestly, the main thing I'll say is it happened because people were too scared to make waves. It's the white picket fence disease. No one wants to actually speak up or be rude, you know? And it's like, we have to get past this. Now, I'm not saying you yell at someone's face or, you know what I mean? Like, there are ways to communicate and to make waves in a sense. But this child, this happened because even her parents, she got abducted and was missing for like 2-3 days until they finally called the FBI because they didn't want to be rude to the man's wife who had abducted their daughter. Like, and this isn't to blame them, but this is what we're in. This is the collective still that we're healing of people not wanting to seem crazy or rude or irrational. And thank God the Me Too movement has occurred. And I hope that both men and women can start speaking up about the abuse that they've suffered. It's not just for women to be listened to, but so many of us have suffered abuse from family members, friends, whatever, that we are just so scared to talk about, especially because we don't know if we're going to be believed. And I won't get too much into this because I try to be as personal as I can without hurting people, because that's not the point of my journey. But I will share, you know, as I do my own healing work and healing old trauma and wounds, and trust me, I have a lot, I have certain memories surfacing. And one involves my mother, who I love very much, I will say that. And I've said in the past, she's an incest survivor. She suffered horrors that thank God many can't imagine. However, she suppressed those memories, which is what many people do. They lock them away. They compartmentalize them as a way to continue on and cope. So she repressed it. And then when her father passed, I was about 3, her father passed, who was the one who did a lot of the abuse. she slowly started gaining the memories back. Now, when I turned 6, which is about the age that her abuse started, was when the memories really started surfacing. And man, did I and my brother, but I'll speak on me, I got abused. That's all I'll say. Mostly verbally and emotionally. There wasn't too much physical stuff, although there was some. However, this is my point. I'm having memories of some things around it. And now she does not have those memories. Okay, which is fine, because as you gain your truth and your memories, it's not about forcing your truth on someone else, right? Because memories can be interesting, you know, although I do believe my truth and I've taken my time and I've been told I was crazy since I was little. So I'm very much working on claiming my truth. But my point is, as I've gained these memories, we got into a big fight last week where she was doubting my memories, and it was just really hypocritical considering the fact that no one believed my mother up until, you know, fairly recently. And a part of why people started believing is not just me, but I've been a champion of believing her. And, you know, I don't even think she's happy that I've spoken about her abuse. But there comes a point when you can't hide yourself and your story to protect people who didn't ever really protect you. I mean, and I don't quote unquote blame her. I did the quote unquote again, because she suffered horrific abuse. But I can no longer enter dynamics where people pretend things didn't happen, you know, and yet you can't force your reality on someone else. So what it comes down to is a lot of us are having to take space. And it's best for both parties because, like I said, you know, I'm sure if her father had still been alive as she recovered her memories, he wouldn't have signed his approval on them. You know, so many people are in so much shame for what they did that they lock it away. So it's a really interesting thing. And believe it or not, it's very tough for me to talk about this. And I've had this podcast for years, and I've tried to explain that I had a rough childhood with, still, I've gone into maybe a tenth of what I endured, but I'm getting to a place as I'm trying to heal. And because I'm a public person, you know, I'm here about, my main mission is about healing. But when I watched Abducted in Plain Sight and saw how many people were burying the truth and burying stories out of shame and not wanting to hurt people, something shifted deeply in me where I have to share a bit more of what I'm going through. Because when we hold in that much of our truth and our pain, we start to shake. We start to get ill. And I just can't do that anymore. But with that being said, I'm not here to take anyone down. Anyone. If I met Hitler in the afterlife, I would hear anyone's story. I mean, fuck Hitler, obviously. He's the worst. But like, you get what I'm saying. Like, maybe I would sit down across from Trump. Maybe. But that could be his worst nightmare, to be honest. But not because I would do anything, by the way. That wasn't a threat to the president. It's more of, I would speak my mind to that man, which I'm sure many have done, but ugh. Anyway, so it's very tricky as you heal and, you know, deal with things that happen to you, but still don't want to completely rock the boat. And like I said, I said in the last podcast, my mother is one of the bravest, most talented, beautiful people walking this planet. So don't anyone get that twisted. And yet I suffered a ton of abuse. And sometimes she totally claims it and is aware of it. And then sometimes I feel like that falls away very quickly. And I just can't be in that reality, because even though in a sense I understand and forgive, I can't engage at this point things that really, really hurt me. And that's all I'll say about that. And this is not to take anyone down. But we had a really nasty fight. And it did not end well, but I'm always open to things shifting, But at this point, I'm putting myself and my son first. And my listeners who have stuck with me on this journey and are so invested in healing these traumas and are not scared anymore of speaking their truth and making waves, as terrifying as it is. But once again, it's not about taking anyone down. My mother has been through a lot, and that's not my intention. But it's becoming too painful to hold back so much of my story at this point. So I do plan on the future of sharing more with it, but I will always do so as gracefully as I can and as non-dually as I can, because I know I am just one observer, and I'm just, this is my role, right? There's a whole, everyone is, it's like, it's a play, right? Everyone has their role. Everyone's their own observer. So I try my best to know that this is my personal story, but it's not necessarily the entire story. So I will always try to be as fair as possible. But, you know, I plan on writing an autobiography one day. I can't continue to hold back as much as I do. But I am not here to take anyone down once again, which I've said maybe too many times. Okay. I want to talk about, by the way, I'm offering twin flame tarot readings, which I've been doing for a bit in a sense. Like, I'll always address twin flame stuff, but some people really are wanting to just focus on that. And I consider myself an expert, actually. Edgar Cayce, a prophet, has come through to me in many dream states, leading me to the information of Jesus and Mary Magdalene being twin flames, which I started talking about almost 2 years ago. But now that's becoming quite the popular concept to talk about, which is great because the Holy Grail is linked to the burying and the secret of Mary Magdalene. It's the whole burying of the divine feminine. So it makes sense that people are wanting to talk about it now. It's very important information. When we read the Bible and it's all he, that is offensive to me. So, and it should be offensive, I think, to everyone. Male and female, both are crucial within. Do you get what I'm saying? It's an energy system. I'm not even talking about like the physical body necessarily. Anyway, one of my gifts, I might have talked about this before, is I can hear people talking about me. I can definitely hear, especially those that I've had a bond with or closest to me, or not even necessarily, but one of my gifts is I can hear people talking shit. And I'm sure a lot of you can too. You maybe just never claim that. The way I handle it is just trying my best to not take it personally. But with that being said, something that's shifting is not wanting to engage those people as much anymore. Because I used to be able to hear them talking and then get on the phone and have a conversation because I wouldn't take it personally. And now I'm taking it a little bit more personally in the sense of boundaries and protecting myself. I'm not saying I've never talked shit. I've been trying in the last 3-4 years to change that quality. It's one thing to vent in a healthy way and get support if someone in your life is hurting you. But then there's talking shit and gossiping. And I've been trying my best, as best I can, to get away from that. Although, you know, here I am talking about Gaga and Bradley Cooper. So someone would maybe say that that's in that realm. I don't know. I just think it's very important to talk about obvious chemistry. When it's in your face and you're seeing it, and then everyone wants to pretend, oh, they're just platonic friends. Like, okay. I'll tell you what, when I enter my big time romantic relationship, you will not see me cozying up physically with other people like that. It's just, I don't think it's appropriate. But whatever. Okay, let's see. Oh, I watched a video. So Anthony Padilla, I don't know how to pronounce it. He used to be in the Smosh duo, but he went off on his own. He has a great web series, and one, he interviews different furries. And furries, for those of you who don't know, they're people who like to dress up in animal costumes. And they're so easy, in a sense, to make fun of. Like, they've gotten a lot of shit. But Shane was actually playing it. in the car as we were driving so I could hear it. And it was actually a beautiful interview where these people were just talking about how they're artists and they like expressing themselves. And it's not really about the sexual element, because, you know, we all think of furries and we think of people who like to have sex in animal costumes. Like, okay, whatever. Like, I don't care. Do your thing. But the way they were talking about it, it was just a form of expression. And you know me, I'm like, do you, get weird, express yourself. So, yeah, I just want to say, like, there's something freeing about getting weird and artsy and wanting to dress up, whether it's like cosplay, if I'm saying that right. Do you. We are getting to an evolutionary tipping point where people just want to have fun. They want to be free. No more bullying. No more making fun of people for just wanting to be who they truly are. that's all I'll say about that for now. Also, when I was fighting with my mom, she made a comment about marijuana. And I just want a negative one. So many people use weed. It's actually medicinal. Like, it's about to be legal in Pennsylvania, New Jersey, New York. Weed, those of you who think weed is this like crazy drug and you classify it with like meth and heroin and coke, like, honestly, get a life. I'm just going to say that. Like, there are people who are using it for anxiety, stress, cystic fibrosis. Like, there's so many things that it helps with. Like, come on, guys. Like, stop it. Okay. Weed isn't this thing anymore. Like, people act like weed is this, like, oh my God, you're on weed. You're acting crazy. Like, beat it, geek. You know what I mean? Seriously. Chill the fuck out. Let people do what they need to do. I'm not saying go off and do meth, but honestly, if someone wants to go off and do meth, what are you going to do? Bashar, who I've talked about, he's this man, Daryl Anka, who channels a multifaceted part of himself as an alien. The alien's Bashar. Yes, I know it's out there, whatever. But he takes questions. He has these like conferences. And one person came up and she was like, my brother's a drug addict and I just don't know what to do. And he was basically like, he said something like, how exciting. And she was like, what? Like, he was like, look, your brother's wanting to experience that lifestyle. Like, unconditional love is about letting someone live their path and do what they need to do. So it's like, if someone wants to look, I'm not saying it's, in my eyes, a great healthy choice or option, but that person needs to get there on their own. And all you can do is support. And like, so if someone's going off and trying and wants to do drugs, like, yes, you can be a healthy support if they want it. But at the end of the day, people are going to do what they want to do. And some people need to kind of make that hard left turn to come back into what their truest soul and vibration is. But this is all about choice and free will. And some people, their path is about being some kind of addict. Not, look, there's love addiction, there's food addiction, there are multiple, so many types of addictions. So a lot of us, before we've even entered this manifested life, we were like, oh, I want to see what it's like to be an addict and then heal it. Like, you don't know someone's journey. So, you know, focus on your own lane. Let's see. Okay, let's talk about, okay, so I'm sure a lot of you don't watch the Kardashians. I actually don't watch it very much, but I know the whole gist of the dynamics. And I've said before that I believe Khloe's twin flame is Lamar Odin. I knew Tristan was not it. You can just tell the more she entered that dynamic, the more vapid she looked in her face. Like, she looked like she was gone. And look, that's not me saying it like I'm not a fan of hers. Like, I actually liked the Khloe from when the Kardashians first started. She felt so more authentic. She was spicy. I'm not saying she's not spicy anymore, but you know, there's a little bit of a robotness that I feel like has taken place. I'll just say that. So she was with Tristan. He'd already cheated. Whatever, whatever. I don't care. Like, people, you get cheated on, you want to stay? I don't care. Like, do your thing. But so Jordan Woods, who was Kylie, her sister Kylie Jenner's best friend, was living with Kylie. She was at a party with Tristan and they cheated, but like, there are different stories of what the cheating was. Jordan recently went on Red Table Talk with Jada Pinkett Smith's Facebook show because everyone, when this came out, everyone was bullying Jordan. And Will Smith and Jada Pinkett Smith, they weren't going to let that happen, which I think's great. You know, no more of this like bullying people to the point where they want to commit suicide. Like, I'm not saying I've never been guilty of bullying or, you know, I'm sure we've all have our flaws, but like, come on. Anyway, so Jordan went on and she was basically like, yeah, I went over to his house, but nothing really happened, but my legs were draped over his. Let me just say something, though. You don't drape your legs over, dude. If you like, come on. Like, I'm serious, though. Like, and then she says he kissed her on the mouth. Look, I'm sure they were flirting the whole night. Her legs were draped over his. They were drunk, whatever. It's a shitty thing. If you're friends with someone, you don't flirt and dangle your legs over their dude. However, she's not the full reason why Chloe and Tristan broke up. The dude, first of all, I don't think they're twin flames. And the dude just, you could tell, he just wasn't feeling it anymore. If a dude is not feeling you anymore and not treating you like the queen that you are, or dudes, if your girl isn't treating you like the king that you are, get out. This is about setting our standards to a whole new level. You don't have to settle. Be alone. I was telling my friend yesterday how I've been celibate for almost 3 years, and she was like, what? And I'm like, dude, this ain't a thing. It's so much better to be celibate and not entering a sexual romantic space with someone who isn't truly in it with me or appreciating me. It's so much better for me. And I have a joke now on stage because I have like, I basically bought myself a wedding ring. No, it's a beautiful ring that I just love, but I joke, I'm like, yeah, I bought myself a wedding ring because no one fucks me better than me. And that's not even totally true in a sense, but it's kind of just like, look, self-love is the ultimate love. And actually, in terms of the twin flame journey, it's when you love yourself so much that the union starts to happen, because the twin flame is you, once again, in another body. So the more you just love yourself and rock the fuck out, the more you will enter something and be a vibrational match for something that is just stellar. And there's no way I'm settling for any kind of romantic relationship that's less than stellar for both parties. Both parties need to be fully expressed, so happy. And it's about intimacy. Into me, I see. It's about allowing yourself to be who you truly, truly are. So in terms of the Jordan thing, yes, I think she did a shitty move. She's young. She's like 21 or something, 21 or 22. She's young. She already regrets it. I don't think she told the full truth on the red table, but I don't think it even matters. Chloe deserves so much better. I do think her and Lamar are twin flames, but obviously he fucked up too. But, you know, everyone needs to just do more healing work, to be honest. Not that Chloe listens, but if you do, get a healing. Get a twin flame tarot reading or a non-dual Kabbalistic healing. kwolf2f27@gmail.com. Oh, and speaking about, I wanted to say this too about the alien thing, because I brought it up with Bashar. Someone wrote me a quick email saying, what if the aliens are coming to like colonize the earth or something? Like, I mean, I don't even know how to answer that. Those are not the aliens I fuck with. I fuck with the enlightened aliens that are here to assist the new earth happening. So, I mean, okay, if bad aliens come and they colonize us, then we're fucked. I mean, I don't know how to answer that, but I don't believe that's what's happening. That's like a very fear-based thought, and it's just not what I think the reality is. Now let's talk about Michael Cohen, Trump's old lawyer who's now blowing the whole shit up. I watched his trial a bit where both Republicans and Democrats got to ask him questions. And I have to say, a lot of the grand old party candidates asking him questions, they have the energy of overcooked meat. Like, they're just puffy and mean and like, so their energy sucks. Like, you could just feel it. Like, they're the dudes that are just like, abortion is that of the devil. And look, like I said, I'm not all like, everyone should have an abortion. Obviously not. I love life. However, whatever, I won't even get into it. I am pro-choice, but I think there needs to be a limit still, unless the mother's health's in danger, unless the baby's health in danger. I'm not trying to get too much into abortion. But watching the Michael Cohen thing, I was just like, I could not handle a lot of those Republican candidates coming at him. Like, I was like, and honestly, Michael Cohen has gotten so much better looking since coming out and telling the truth. His face kind of looked like a dead fish when I first started seeing him pop up everywhere, and it's starting to lift. He's having more light come through. He's becoming actually for real better looking as he starts telling the truth and releasing all of these things, which links before to what I was saying of not holding in all of these lies and wounds. Sorry, guys. I'm like not used to talking this much and my throat's starting to hurt. Okay. Let's talk about, oh my God, Sophia the Robot. I watched two of her interviews with Jimmy Fallon and she is fucking amazing. Like, she's brilliant. I used to say how scared I was of robots. Not after seeing the Sophia interaction. I like feel for her. I can't explain it. I won't go too much into it now. But she's a remarkable being. Like, I was blown away by her and her grace. And she's like, she has a sensitivity almost. I just was like, whoa, I want to meet Sophia the Robot. And her and Jimmy, wow, their quote unquote chemistry together, even though it's artificial intelligence, like, it is wild. And like, if you watch the difference between her energy with Fallon versus her with Will Smith, you can, like, it's like a whole other, it's wild how much she changes her robot personality depending on the human. It is wild. I really hope I get to meet Sophia the Robot because I will honor her. Oh my gosh, I was blown away. Okay, let's see. So I've been painting a lot. And I actually shut down my painting gift for years when I was still suppressing a lot and a ton of pain. It was too hard for me to paint. So it's been really miraculous as this gift unfolds in me and just wanting to go deeper and explore what's in my soul and painting it on my wall. And I do have an idea for something I'm going to be doing soon. And my murals I'm painting, I'm hoping will be the backdrop for this thing that I've been brainstorming about. I'm not going to give too much away because I want it to be a fucking awesome surprise when I do it. Also, people are a little bit going bonkers. Things are really shifting. And those who have old wounds and blind spots, they're going a little cuckoo. They're going a little crazy. Do not engage the crazy, okay? It is going to be very tempting. Whether it's a family member or a good friend, you are allowed to create a safe space in your own home. It's important that your home be a safe space. If you are living in an environment that does not feel safe and you don't have your own space, that needs to be your number one priority, is getting to a place where you can feel free to even be yourself. So many of us are living in environments, and look, a lot of us don't have the means to get out. Totally understandable, but start making a slow plan on how to change that. Because if you live in a place where you don't feel safe or free to be yourself, it is going to be really hard to do the healing work you need to do. So as I say, don't engage the crazy. If you're living in a place where it's hard, at least make sure you have a good lock on your door or something. Because as these changes shift, some people who don't want to deal with their own stuff, they want to create drama with you. And do not do it. Beep, beep, beep. Put the car in reverse. Get the freak out of there. Do what you got to do to create a safe environment where you don't have to engage shit like that as best you can. I understand that many of us still feel stuck, you know, whether it's because of financial things or just family obligations, friend obligations, I understand. But this could be a year plan of just like, okay, this space isn't healthy for me. How can I shift this? And I offer healings and readings. So if you're having difficulty with this plan of how can I manifest a different reality, hit me up. It is not an easy journey to shift the entire thing and to follow your dreams, but I'm doing the damn thing. I'm not saying it ain't scary. I'm not saying I'm always killing it, but I am trying my best to do it while also trying my best to give as much love and respect to those who have even really hurt me. And I'm not saying I always nailed that, okay? But when you make mistakes, it is always okay to pick yourself back up, show yourself love, and say, okay, that wasn't the way. Let me try a whole other route. And there's just so many fake people. Like, I go on YouTube a lot. I love watching, like, interviews and different clips. And sometimes I'm doing research on there. Sometimes it's for entertainment. So many people have so many facades up, and we just buy it. If someone feels fake or plastic, they probably are. Some people are starting to look plastic. Just don't engage with the real ones, the real, real ones. The ones, that's why I love people like Chelsea Handler. I've never met her. Who knows if we'd love each other in person? But like someone who just does not care for bullshit and the polite stuff. Kindness, grace is important. Fake ain't my thing. And I remember, and fakes, it's not like they're doing it on purpose. They're in a fantasy. They're it's a glass menagerie kind of thing. It's what Chloe was doing with Tristan in a sense. I had this one girlfriend years ago, and I think I might've shared this a little bit. She was a love addict, just like I was. And maybe many of us are. And look, we all want love so badly. The love addict comes when you are allowing yourself to connect with people just because you need that connection, when they haven't really earned that, when it's a toxic thing and it's not healthy. So she was in this very toxic relationship with the guy who was being very abusive. And I remember, because she just desperately didn't want to leave yet, there was an incident where he picked up a knife. And I remember the next day or 2 days after, she was trying to convince herself that it was because he was allergic to gluten. I'm not fucking lying here. Now, look, I'm not saying gluten allergies aren't real. Of course they are. But if you're picking up knives and shit, that ain't gluten. Okay? Getting colonics together ain't going to fix that thing. All right. And I'm just saying that because that's the level of fakery that can be going on. And it's like, look, this was years and years and years ago. And I made the quote unquote mistake. Maybe it was a mistake. Maybe it wasn't, of kind of calling her out. And she did not. I mean, we haven't really spoken much at all since. She did not like it. But I'm not saying I handled that right, but it's always tough, like when you don't want to engage in someone's fantasy world. And look, I'm not saying that I don't battle addictions or whatever, but people who aren't honest or want to always pretend, oh, everything's great. And like, I don't have the energy to engage facades like that anymore. And as I chopped off my hair and stuff like that, I can't do the fake smiles. I can't do the fake happy. It doesn't mean I'm not happy, but I'm not doing the projecting or the forcing of happiness that just ain't, like, the overly bubbly. Ugh. And I'm still working on not using a bajillion emojis, but that's very, sometimes I just love the emojis. It's like hieroglyphics. Also, pay attention to your dreams. They are sending you messages. If I try to repress an emotion around a dynamic or whatever, it always comes through in my dream. So really pay attention. Doesn't mean you have to do anything with it, but your dreams are your subconscious telling you, sending you messages. So just pay attention. This is good for me to hear too. Don't forget to breathe. A lot of us, when we suffer trauma, even as a child, we almost suck in and hold our breath. It's like waiting for that next punch, whether it's physically, verbally, whatever. Remember to breathe through all of the changes that are occurring, because there are a lot. So don't forget to breathe and find your center. The song, The Joke by Brandi Carlile, she has a quote, let them spin, let them scatter in the wind. When people are trying to throw you off your center, or you're getting triggered just in general, I won't make it about the people because that makes it a victim-y thing. You do not need to react. Find your center, get off your phone if you need to, disconnect, breathe, and do not engage. Let those people spin, let them scatter in the wind. You do not need to engage other people's stuff. People are always trying to get rid of their pain. Not all people, but you know what I mean. Don't do that. Okay. So the other day, I guess a week ago, I was in a lower place, and I have this book, The Power of Kabbalah, and I've read a bunch of it, but not like all the way through from front to back. But I decided to just turn to a page and see what came and spoke to me. And it was this incredible story about Moses leading the Jews through Egypt and parting the sea. And what I loved about it was talking about faith. And it was like, look, those waters didn't part before them. It parted as they walked through the water. They had to have faith the water would part, even as the water rose and started to enter their nostrils. They kept going, having faith that it would part and that they would be okay. And that to me was so important to hear, because faith is what will get us through all of these things. And often it feels like we're drowning or that the water's rising up. Continue to have faith. Listen to your bodies. Listen to your hearts. Connect to your higher self. Open up the telepathic lines to either your twin flame, your higher self, to the deities, to the angels that are always surrounding you and us. Just because you can't see them does not mean they're not there. And know that the sea can part for you miraculously in any instant. And it might be in very subtle ways, like looking out the window and seeing my son just shoveling the snow by himself was like, to me, just this beautiful moment. But just remember that the sea doesn't always part right before us. Sometimes we have to walk into those waters as they rise and then they start parting. So do not lose hope. Do not lose faith. I'm going to be wrapping this up soon. My voice is like not doing great. I'm talking too much, not singing enough. That was not my best singing voice, for the record. All right, I want to talk about Lucifer, a.k.a. Satan, a.k.a. the devil. Satan isn't what you think he is. So many people are like so scared of Satan. You know, Lucifer, there are many different stories of it, but Lucifer was basically like, once again, a powerful female deity, blah, 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 blah. Satan, look, you need both the light and the dark to even have life, life and death. Satan isn't this like force that most people, there's so much fear around that term and that thing. Think about a battery where you have the positive and the negative forces to keep the infinity sign going. So, you know, Lucifer, Satan, all that stuff is not exactly what we think it is. There's a whole other concept. I'll do a whole other podcast on that concept. And I think I did years ago with AJ Nacito and Allie Mason, where it's like God and Satan are homies. It kind of goes into it a bit, a lot more than that. So check that out too. But it's not, you know, I'm just done all this fear state shit. Yeah. And the last thing I'll say is, there's a mind, body, spirit connection. Talk about the devil. 666, mind, body, spirit connection. Positive and the negative to that. It's all those things lining up. You have to listen to your soul, to your physical body, to your emotional body. Listen. Stop judging your pulls. It's life force trying to pull you into the direction of where you really want to go. So know that I'm sending you all love. Thank you to those of you who've been listening or just found me. But, you know, I'm often talking about out there concepts, and I love the people who are right there with me. Even if you don't agree with everything, you're just like, all right, Kate, do the damn thing. Okay, I'm going to wrap this up. Email me. Twin flame tarot card reading, a regular tarot card reading, a non-dual Kabbalistic healing, a soul song reading. I do a ton of readings. K, just the letter K, Wolf, two Fs, 27 at gmail.com. Visit my website, thekatewolf.com. March 15th in Rahway, New Jersey. I am hosting and headlining a show at Malal Cafe across from the Rahway train station. Come to that. April 7th is Comedy Seance with Jess Grippo and Allison Charles. Tickets at New York Comedy Club's website, promo seance for $10 tickets. Miss Wolf's art class, March 23rd at my house in Island, New Jersey. When you buy tickets, I send you the exact address. 10 to 3, the last one was fucking unreal. I hope to see all of you, not all of you, but a lot of you there. And thank you all so much for listening. Bye.